longer. So, I guess this is more of a spitballing rough draft kind of thing.
What? I thought we were editing.
I mean,
how did we not edit?
Basically, just an introduction and I guess an outro, but other than that.
So, outro.
The only thing I've got is hello and welcome to the Practical Applications of Insanity podcast. That's it. That's all I got.
So dry.
Yeah.
Say it with some passion, some insanity.
Hello and welcome. Okay, Practical Applications of Insanity podcast.
Insanity!
You guys will scare me a little bit.
That's fine. In fact, I prefer that.
What are we doing today? What are we talking about, Gentry?
I don't actually have a particular topic in mind, and I haven't been
you
doing
like, yes, you do.
You do?
Yes. The direct mode network.
Yes.
That you never talked about.
It's actually the default mode network.
I knew it.
Well, I said default.
No, you said
I even wrote default.
That's so great.
But I will pull up some stuff.
All I had remembered was DMM. I was like, I know it was like mode network or something. And I don't know why direct kept coming into my head, but it did.
DirecTV.
Probably. I used to owe them money. I wonder if... Supposedly, I don't anymore. I only have two collections right now.
Guilty conscience. That's why it's on there.
Oh, Comcast. $250. It's fun.
So, just to have a base of what we're discussing. In neuroscience, the default mode network is a large-scale brain network of interacting brain regions known to have activity highly correlated with each other and distinct from other networks in the brain.
English.
It is assumed that the default mode network was most commonly active when the person is not focused on the outside world and the brain is at wakeful rest, such as during daydreaming and mind wandering. However, it is now known that it can contribute to elements of experience that are related to external task performance. English meaning, it is a part of your consciousness that is associated with memory, but also kind of simulating things, and
so it's like the dream space. Okay, so then, like, or is it, would this be considered your imagination?
You could consider it to be that.
Or rather, would the imagination fall into the default mode network?
I think we have to do more research.
Okay.
Because this is getting into areas where my knowledge lacks.
Well, I mean, if it has to do with the simulation and the creation of things, I would only assume that that's where, like, the creativity and the imagination would be kind of coming from, right? You can just kind of logic that.
So it's considered a cognitive process used in mental functioning and used in conjunction with psychological imagery. It involves thinking about possibilities.
Did you just give me the definition of the imagination?
Yes.
Okay.
And there are various types, such as imagery, or reproductive as opposed to productive or constructive imagination.
What do you think, Leslie?
It's predominantly driven by the prefrontal cortex.
Is imagination part of the default mode network?
Looking at this one right here, it has three different maps on it. Imaging the magnetically stimulated brain. And it's got I'm guessing it's supposed to be cognitive, but it says cognitive control network. That might be something, I don't know. Sensory motor networks and default mode network, and they're all separate parts of the different types of parts of the brain. I'm guessing cognitive would be like, you know, spatial touch and shit like that. Well, I don't know, because then there's sensory motor. Interesting.
What cognitive is? Oh fuck! Well, that's a good one to look up the definition for. We know what imagination is. What's the cognitive thing? Because it's like logic-based, right?
So cognitive is the set of all mental abilities and processes related to knowledge, attention, memory, and working memory, judgment, and evaluation, reasoning and computation, problem-solving and decision-making, comprehension and production of language.
So you are a very cognitive being.
I suppose, yeah.
Let's check this out. Beyond amygdala, default mode network activity differs between patients with social phobia and healthy controls. Let's see. The default mode network is a constellation of brain areas that decrease their activity during a wide number of different goal-oriented tasks as compared to passive rest tasks. The DMN can be modulated by different factors such as emotional states, cognitive load of the task, and psychopathology, including anxiety.
I'm going to need some English on that one.
Basically, it's the part of your brain that would control those things, like anxiety and social factors.
And, that is
and then, well, the other one is goal-oriented tasks. Being anxious isn't goal-oriented. It's
rest. Just like
It's the difference between goal-oriented brain functioning and passive rest functions, where you just kind of.
They talk about that. You have to take that fucking bullshit college thing, the whole like how to go to college thing. That's the mentalities they're talking about. I think that two cents of like okay, there's yeah okay. I guess
part of the theory is that a lot of our personal anxieties and neuroses can come from distortions in the default mode network. So when we turn it off temporarily via meditation or psychedelic use or even to an extent cannabis use, this allows our brain to achieve a different state of consciousness, technically an altered state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. What they call the theory of mind, apparently. So these regions are part of the so-called theory of mind circuit, and in particular they are involved in the evaluation of one's own emotional state. Interesting.
This is psychology, gentlemen. I don't like psychology so much because it is such a soft science.
It's so hard to get. There are consistencies, though.
They're very hard to. They're soft. They're soft consistencies. They're not. They're human. You know, it's so hard to do things when there's humans involved.
I was very intrigued by Carl Jung's work.
Yeah, Carl Jung was fucking.
I'm unfamiliar with Carl Jung.
Personality tests, you know, the INFJ type thing?
Yeah.
Actually, that's Myers-Briggs.
Well, I was going to parallel.
Because I've taken the Myers-Briggs. Yeah.
That's the Myers-Briggs. Mm-hmm. He has tests similar to that. He does biorhythm, mm-hmm. and he dabbled in numerology, but his big thing is biorhythm, and that's like the cycle of your life. Like,
I've seen biorhythm.
Ups and downs. Yeah, that's Carl Jung. He's got a lot of good shit.
So what is biorhythm?
Huh?
What is biorhythm? Just because I've seen it, because
like I was saying, it's almost like SAD, seasonal affective disorder. Mm-hmm. But you look at the numbers, it's based off of numerology, essentially. And he puts it on the sine wave. So the winter, mm-hmm. if you're in your down cone, you're going to be depressed. You're not
so basically, he gives like attributes of your life numbers and then plots those numbers on a sine wave to get how you would feel like mentally.
Yeah, technically. Like that. Yeah, and so you can, like, stage out your year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, should I make decisions in this time period or this
time
period?
Do you think that's... first things first, horoscopes. Yay or nay?
Well, for one thing, biorhythms are a theory that claims our daily lives are significantly affected by rhythmic cycles, but scientific analysis shows that biorhythms have no more predictive power than chance.
Well, I'm talking Carl Jung's biorhythm.
Right. But, again, horoscopes are kind of in that same vein in that they attempt to
provide at this framework. Point, what horoscope? Because there's too many.
Yeah, we'll they're not all the same. The general knowledge of, you know, the horoscope. That way it doesn't get too murky.
Well, I mean, like, that seems to be a super deep knowledge that I've never gotten into very well because, like, Mercury retrograde, Venus rising or some crap, you know, like, I know it just means, like, where they're at in the sky and whatnot, but there's a lot of science to it, pseudoscience.
Yeah.
The stars' apparent positions have no bearing on our lives whatsoever, because it's all based on constellations which are only apparent from our current perspective. They could be completely different elsewhere in the universe. We're just
constellations.
The constellations in horoscopes.
There aren't any constellations.
All of the horoscopes, the signs are based on constellations.
they're based off of the Chinese zodiac, or not the Chinese zodiac, but
no, they're constellations.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. That's why they're in. That's why, like, you said, they're based on retrograde.
I mean, they didn't just look at the star and be like, okay, that's Virgo. I mean, they had to have that example from their own shit somewhere. It's like Greek mythology or something, right?
It just stretches way back. Yeah, they just looked up and went, that's Libra or whatever, yeah, at some point. But I think that gives us some sort of, I think that gives it some sort of merit, the fact that these have remained so constant the entire time.
And the whole thing is
and there's merit.
It's more of a planet-based thing instead of a constellation-based. Like, I know the broad aspect of which one you are is constellation-based, I guess, but it's just talking about, like, the section of the sky, essentially, that's facing towards the Earth when you're born, which really could, I mean, we have no idea.
I'm with him on this level.
There's different things we can't see, different magnetic forces. They do have pole. They're just not strong enough to pull us away from the sun and such. And, you know, the moon is the only reason we have tides. So there's definitely influence.
If we can see a star, small it may we are be. Being influenced by it, right? Because the photon is hitting us.
Every single piece of matter affects every other piece of matter in the universe.
Exactly. So the,
but it's a matter of degree.
And you know what they say. You know what they say about anything that comes before but, right?
It's all bullshit.
Let's hope it doesn't apply in this case. The simplest solution is often the best, and ascribing.
But and okay, so I have a. This is for one. I already have a problem with this argument, because like, rarely in nature is the simplest solution used. It's just kind of the situation that has been evolved in,
okay,
like, effective. Like, oh, that's how you're going to do it? Like,
the solution that requires the least assumptions is most likely to be accurate.
Okay, I'm not assuming anything. I'm assuming that, like...
I'm assuming.
You got me. Let's see, how to phrase.
Doesn't matter what the phrase you use now. You've already
I've already assumed.
Yourself.
I've already assumed.
You've made an ass out of you and me, sir.
But I think we are affected by things that are like, okay. It was a good thing that we really didn't see coming that hit us. We're like, oh shit, I'm surprised that affects us like it did. Like plastics. We looked
at them. Cell phones giving us brain tumors.
Things of that nature. Like, there's a lot of things that were like, that doesn't affect us, and then they promptly prove that it affects us. Like, I hate the preemptive thing of like, it doesn't.
It's very research based. It's a matter of degree.
How much research?
We're constantly being bombarded by background radiation, but it's only a couple of micrograms. It's not a big deal. A banana is ever so slightly radioactive because it emits a beta particle every 30 minutes. Yeah, okay. I'll eat a banana.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've only been around for a fairly limited time on the grand scale of things.
Especially in our modern time. Like, these modern things that we... Most things... Alright, so I think a lot of the reason that people are so quick to assume that nothing happens is because we're taught history very quickly. We're like, alright, 1500s, 1400s, and then we're here. But like, it took a long time. A lot of people, like, died of the shit that they just didn't realize, because it takes a long time for people to know that shit.
If I may throw out something real obvious, is like, from interactions from interstellar objects with the sun, I mean, that affects us quite greatly. So I don't know why other bodies wouldn't.
In the same deal. Yeah, I agree.
Again, a matter of degree.
It's a degree, yeah, but it's still there. Even though it's a smaller percentage, it's still there. So it's like...
And that's what most people say. They're not saying, like, it's not like, oh, life-changing. No, they're just like, oh, hey, it looks like right here, you'll have a slightly better chance of doing this thing because of these. And so, like, there's math.
It really requires you to believe in auras and stuff like that, too. Cause, I mean...
That's where I get a little hairy on.
Well, that's what it's connected to, though, because it's the same thing. You do have an electromagnetic aura produced from your heart. It extends 3 feet out of your body.
Okay, that's some science I can get behind. There is.
So everything has an energy field.
What do you think, Gentry? Does everything have an energy field, Mr. Logic?
technically, but describing it as an aura, then
it's just giving
ventures into the realm of pseudoscience.
Well, no, God, no.
Because it is a field, but mm-hmm. there's a distinction.
Well, that's what an aura is. It's a field.
Names are ridiculous, by the way. All right, so we worked in IT. There was the fucking... It literally just welded fiber together, right? They called it... Oh, fucking Christ. I told you what it was called.
I don't remember.
So it was like fusion. They just attributed this ridiculously thing name to it. Fuck names. Aura field, right? Whatever. There is a thing that projects around you.
I think it's important to be accurate.
Yeah, and...
Talking about.
Well, I mean...
Well, if we're talking about a field
or
yeah,
somewhere.
In this sense, aura is the correct word, right?
I wouldn't say so, because the two terms are very, very distinct in what their basis where their basis lies.
Okay, what's an aura?
And this is coming from a guy who actually used to be interested in psionics and auras, and now discredits them.
Like, the first one doesn't even have to do with spirituality. It's just the distinctive atmosphere or quality that seems to surround or be generated by a person, thing, or place. So I'd say it's fairly accurate.
Yeah.
That's more of a psychological construct, though.
Also, isn't everything.
As opposed to what?
Electric field.
A psychological construct as opposed to electrical field? Is that what you were going to say?
No. I mean...
What do you need it to be?
Calling it an aura, the definition that I had a problem with was the second one, in spiritualism.
Right, but we don't need to look at that one, because we're not talking about spiritualism specifically. We're just talking in a purely through science method, because they have figured it out that there is, in fact, a generated electromagnetic field that extends 3 feet out of your body. So that would still be an aura. Just, yeah, it's the shaky term, I guess, but... By the first definition there, it's accurate.
The two terms are distinct, even in this definition.
Well, then our electric field that extends around us, which functions strangely similarly to an aura, because I think an aura is typically, like, affected by the internal, like... Alright, so, like, if you're an aura reader, right, you can kind of tell somebody's kind of fucked up because their aura's bad. Well, it would make sense that, like, your electrical field would be disrupted by any sort of illness, right? If you have a baseline... Alright, so I guess first things first. Do you agree that there's an electric field projected around us that we emit?
I would say that, but I would hesitate to ascribe it to anything supernatural.
It's not supernatural. It's our heart.
The term is based in spiritualism.
Well, fuck the world. Okay, so we have this field around us. Call it what you will. It's fairly aura-like in the manner that it's emitted from the interior of your body to the exterior of your body in a certain thing. But I understand your hesitation to call it an aura, because you're very vehemently against spiritualism.
I'm not against spiritualism. I just like to be accurate when talking about scientific principles, and not conflating the two.
I think we can, though. Why can't... So why can't you, like, approach spirituality in a scientific sense?
The two realms are distinct.
Why?
One exists entirely in the mind, and the other exists in reality.
Well, the mind is in reality.
Yeah. And as physics...
And the mind can alter reality.
Physics and other sciences.
But it's important to see what actually dictates our lives around us with clear eyes, and not attribute it to something...
Well, we have a very limited knowledge of what that would even mean.
And that's why
there's so much that we don't see. So how could we have clear eyes? We can't see Wi-Fi signals. Can't see electrical signals.
But we know
these things, they affect us.
And
the cell phones gave us brain tumors because they're right next to our face. So, I mean, just because they're a distance away, they're not affecting us as heavily, but they're still affecting us.
Based on spiritualism versus, like, why can we not look at spiritualism scientifically? Why is that such a problem?
Worship a sacred mystery is to worship your own ignorance.
Let's talk about worship, but, like, alright. Why can you not approach the God problem scientifically?
You can.
How?
By systematically approaching it and finding that there is no evidence.
Ah, see? Look at you. That is a bad scientist right there. That's a terrible, terrible silent. What you did was bad off the rip. You said you can do it, and then you can find out this. That's a very bad scientific way to go about it. I think you need to go into it saying, this...
I'm not opposed to the idea, but all evidence is to the contrary.
What evidence?
The fact that when we die,
there Whoa. Is no... We have no evidence on when we die, because it's impossible to gather evidence. So that argument already has to leave, because we have zero evidence of what happens after we die.
Correct. We decay.
We can observe on the outside, but we have no idea what actually happens when we die. We cannot gather evidence for that, so we cannot talk about it. I will, right?
There's brain activity after death. They've recorded.
We can see, but again, we can see from the outside in, but there's no like really recorded like.
Do you remember what life was like before you were born?
No, but I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. So that's a pretty horrible way to go about trying to base an opinion. You should never, ever scientifically approach something
There's
on what
heavy,
you can remember.
Heavy evidence, or at least scientific ideas and principles or theories about that we're living in a simulation. If we went off of that scientific explanation, it'd be pretty easy to then go, well, then we entered into this as a almost like a contract or... If you want to go simpler terms, we've made an RPG character that we get to experience in the universe in a physical aspect when we're actually just energy beings.
And that's why I don't like...
Just electrical impulses.
I don't like hypotheses, and I don't like facts, I like truths. Because everybody can argue facts, but it's very hard to argue a truth. And so, like...
What?
Because, like, facts. Because, like, that what you just spouted was a fact that you found, right?
If it's a fact, it's true.
Sort of.
No. If it's a fact, it's true.
So it's true that we're RPG characters.
What?
You just said. What did you just say? The fact that you spoke. Give me the fact.
I don't remember saying it was a fact.
No, you said there's a scientific theory. You know,
yeah, theory.
Okay. And the
it's
a principle, theory.
It's an idea. It's something that they have going on.
Yeah.
That they have evidence to support.
And that's why I don't like it, because like that's
because
not really
evidence
truth.
To support it.
Yeah, because that's not a truth. It's a
How is it not a truth?
Because I don't think we can like we can't just sit.
You don't agree with it?
No, because we yeah exactly because it's not
yeah,
universal.
Yeah, you don't agree with it, so it's not the truth. That's pretty not right. That's not how the truth works. Sorry.
But yeah, truths are universal.
Yeah. So just because you don't agree that it's true doesn't make it not true any longer.
Okay, but it does.
No,
Jim, are you human?
The universe doesn't care
Just,
what
are you
believe.
Human?
The universe doesn't care what I believe.
But are you human?
The universe doesn't care that I'm human.
But are you?
I am.
Are you human?
No.
What are you?
I'm a homo sapien.
Okay, and that falls into the category of human, right?
Maybe.
Okay, so that's a truth. There's a truth that we're all humans. Because that's something that we can all just objectively agree on. That's like, okay, cool. But like...
Yeah. Just like any other truth. Because
yeah.
that's the definition of truth and the definition of fact. Because they are true statements. That makes it fact. There's no arguing that. Yeah, people can be liars, but that only makes the fact false.
You can make a fact out of anything, though.
You can make the truth out of anything.
Ah.
You can say something's true all you want.
And
it's not bad.